Welcome to Unraveling, a podcast which has been created to speak openly about the messy truths of life. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and my intention for this podcast is to express my own real life experiences and that of my guests in a raw and authentic way. It has become a passion of mine to speak honestly and vulnerably about the ups and downs that many of us experience in this roller coaster ride of life. That means huge celebrations and earth-shattering rock bottoms. The reality is we feel and experience it all. Unraveling strips away layers of conditioning, shame, fear, and worry by opening up the conversation to talk about the subjects that are sometimes hidden away. This means you can expect total, open-hearted, truthful discussions about what it really is like to be a human being. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful, but sometimes chaotic, journey of unraveling. Now let's head to the show. Hi everyone, welcome to episode 29 of Unraveling. I am here today to talk to you on my own as a solo episode, all about my journey to befriending my womb. And this might seem a little bit strange for some people, but if you've been following my journey for a while, then you'll probably totally understand why this is something I really need to talk about. And something that I feel really passionate about talking about, actually, because it's been quite a journey. So what I'd really like to do with this season of Unraveling is actually to talk to you a little bit more about the kind of things that are coming up for me and the kind of the lessons I've learned on my journey. And one of the most powerful things that I have learned is to deepen my connection with my womb. Now, for some people, and you may be at this point or you may not be, and I certainly was at this point, the word womb kind of used to, it didn't gross me out, but it used to sort of conjure up feelings of, I don't know, it just didn't resonate with me. I was really disconnected from the word itself. It sort of made me feel a bit uncomfortable, I guess, actually, if I'm being totally honest. And I think that comes from back from being quite young and just not really understanding my body at all. So part of the journey has definitely been to embrace that word, the word womb. And I still notice that when I say the word womb in, for example, in a yoga class or in a group setting, like you can visibly see that some people are quite uncomfortable with that word. And I totally understand that it's not a word that, you know, we don't resonate with every single word, but I feel like changing our relationship with the womb or the womb space, if there isn't actually a womb there anymore, there's still a incredible energy. If someone's had a hysterectomy or if there is that disconnection from the womb space. So it's a word that I really got to know when I experienced hypothalamic amenorrhea about 5.5 years ago. And that, if you're not familiar with that term, it's basically it's the loss of the menstrual bleed, and it can happen at different times of a woman's life for different reasons. Quite often, amenorrhea on its own, it's, you know, if you come off the pill, you often have a period of time where you do not have a menstrual bleed. If you're breastfeeding, quite often if you're in really highly stressed state, or if your body weight has got to a certain level that's not healthy for your body, this can all bring on you the impact of losing your period. But for me, it was kind of it took me quite a while to understand, to really truly understand the reasons that it was happening to me. And I think it was a combination of things. I think there was an emotional and connection to, or not connection, there was an emotional disconnection from that part of my body. And that was purely, I hate to blame society for everything, but that was purely a kind of cultural thing, actually. It was just that it wasn't ever explained to us or to me as a young woman growing up, the power that can be brought, that can be the connection with our womb space and with our these kind of this power to womanhood. It was just something that I just didn't even think about. It was like, we are monthly cycles. They were seen as the curse. I mean, when I was younger, they were actually named the curse. And it was a very disempowering bodily function. And that is really, it felt like this was a negative thing. This was kind of, the bane of a woman's life. And I totally understand that for some people that have menstrual issues and irregularities, it can be a really difficult and challenging time through the cycle, especially if you have a lot of pain or there's a lot of discomfort or there's a lot of sort of trauma around that. But actually, by losing my period, I got the chance to totally reignite my relationship with my menstrual cycle and with my womb in general. And I just wanted to share today a little bit about my journey to that, really, because it wasn't an easy journey to take. And it was really, really tough and challenging for me to not have a menstrual bleed. And I didn't realize it until probably a couple of years into not having a period, just the impact that it was having on me and my emotional state. And that was actually having a knock-on effect in all areas. It was having a knock-on effect in my work. It was having a knock-on effect in my relationships. I felt very disconnected to my femininity and to my powers as a woman, because I felt like there was a lot of things that weren't available to me. I wasn't able to really tap into that cycle and that rhythmic, the different rhythmic energies throughout a cycle. I couldn't even think about at that point having children, because I couldn't imagine, there was no cycle. So how could my body possibly help, create life? I just felt very, very disconnected from that part of me. And actually, the longer I resisted connecting to that part of me, even though actually that's what I really needed to do. So I really needed to give myself the gift of connecting to my womb space and to my womb. But it was the thing that I feared. It was the thing that I felt I couldn't do. So I was in this very slightly contradictory place of wanting so desperately to be connected to this part of me, but not feeling like it was even possible for me to begin. So for me, I kind of started to talk about this and then went off on a tangent, which, if you listen to me regularly ramble on, you'll know I do quite often. For me, the reason, and I never really 100% got to the bottom of why my period stopped, other than my own intuitive, instinctive ideas of what actually caused my periods to end and to not be there. And for me, as I said, there was a big disconnection between that part of my body, but I wouldn't say that was the main reason. I think that really was almost just, it wasn't like I had a bad relationship. It was just that I had no relationship. I had no connection, no understanding, no feelings towards it whatsoever. So there was just a sort of numbness around that that part of my body, really. And I didn't associate it as, I didn't even think about it. I genuinely did not even think about that part of my body. It was just there. And I, you know, it was not an issue in any shape or form. But then, of course, when there was no period anymore, it started to make me think, you know, worry about health issues, worry about what it meant, worry about the future, worry about whether I would be able to have children, all of these things. And so for me, that caused a huge amount of stress, but there was also a lot of other stress in my life at that time. And it wasn't like that there was a big trauma or anything that happened specifically. It was a constant chronic underlying stress, and I was living in a stressed state, and my nervous system effectively was telling my reproductive system, so my sort of that it wasn't safe for me to reproduce, so it wasn't necessary for me to have a menstrual cycle. And because I was just experiencing this low level of stress all the time, and I didn't notice it really, it was just becoming part of me, I couldn't see that this was the cause of it. And so it wasn't until I started to really work on healing my nervous system, and for me that journey looked like a lot of surrendering to more restful practices in my yoga and in my movement. I had to allow myself to be a little bit more free with my eating, and I did put on a little bit of weight compared to the size that I was when I had first stopped having periods. Even though I was not ever really super lean, but for my body, obviously wasn't right at that time. And yeah, so I surrendered, and I gave myself a lot more chances to rest. I found yoga nidra, and I also found the work of Uma Dinsmore Thule, who is an incredible yoga teacher who teaches womb yoga or women's wellness yoga. And I started to embrace some of her practices. The other thing I did was regular meditation. And that actually, I think, was kind of the final catalyst for me to healing that part of my body. It was actually at the same time I was training to do my meditation teacher training, and I had to commit to a daily meditation practice. And that meant that for 15 to 20 minutes a day, I was meditating, and I was giving my nervous system a regular kind of sign to say it's safe. I was dropping into the parasympathetic nervous system more. My sleep was better. So instead of kind of having a really buzzy brain, I was able to drop into a relaxed state a little bit more. So my body was starting to understand that, okay, we're not under permanent threat. And maybe your reproductive system is actually okay to kind of come back. It was in November 2017 that I had my first period after having no period for 4 years. And before I had lost my period, I'd had about 2 or 3 years of irregular periods. So this process happened over quite a long time. It was sort of a gradual process to my body sort of changing and shifting, and then coming back to a more healed and balanced place. So after that, I actually went to do my womb yoga teacher training with Uma, and that was in 2018. So it was February 2018. I went and spent a week in Northumberland with a super powerful group of women who were all passionate about sharing this work and connecting to the womb and to womb healing and every the most amazing practices that I have experienced. And I found that week to be quite challenging in ways, but also so powerful for my own healing. And it was funny because I came away from that training with a lot of information, but I just didn't feel ready to share it at that time. And it's only now, when I'm sort of 18 months beyond that, that I feel like this training is actually integrated into my body and integrated into me. And I feel really called to share and talk about it now. So hence why today I'm talking about this relationship with the womb. And for me, I've been so blessed to meet so many incredible women along the way. Rebecca Wilson was a huge part of this journey for me. And I actually interviewed her on the podcast last year and we had a great conversation. But she has been a real inspiration, as well as many of the other women on my training. But I feel like I wanted to mention Rebecca specifically because she is like this kind of incredible womb medicine woman. And she gave me and she gifted me a treatment last year, or a session practice last year. And I think it was around August, September time. And it was really powerful, really potent medicine, very simple, but very beautiful. And again, it was definitely a catalyst to the sort of next layer of my healing with this journey. And I might get, I don't know, it might get a little bit woo for you at times along this journey, because there have been a lot of times where I've really had to surrender to the sort of magic of the universe and divine timing. But I really truly believe that by creating this connection with my womb, it has led me to heal my menstrual cycle and to now be expecting my first baby. And that in itself has been a huge journey to befriending this part of my body. So what I wanted to talk about a little bit is, obviously I wanted to share my own journey. And for me, that looked like a lot of very simple practices, actually. So I haven't really gone down any huge, big transformative healing practices that have been very, very invasive or hard to reach, but it has meant to, I have had to have a very open mind. So I thought I'd share a few of the things that I've done that have just been quite accessible to me, and have become quite a regular practice. And they've continued to be a regular practice, many of them, as my pregnancy has continued and grown and evolved. And I'm now 25 weeks pregnant. And these practices have really come into their own during this time as well. And I don't believe that without having done them and sort of practiced them beforehand, I would be able to connect so deeply and feel so much between me and my baby. So I'm so blessed for that. But even if you're not intending to be pregnant, or you've had children, or if you don't have a womb, but you know, you still want to connect with the energy of that part of you, these practices are really, really beautiful and really sacred, and they can only deepen your connection to yourself. And I just don't see that can possibly be a bad thing in so many ways. So one of the things I really found helpful, and this actually isn't part of the womb yoga, so to speak, but was I found yoni steaming, which was I bought some herbs, some really beautiful blend of herbs that were made specifically for me from an incredible woman that I worked with last year, I think it was. And this is a process of heating up or pouring boiling water onto the herbs and steaming your yoni or your vagina. And some people might totally freak out at this. I think Gwyneth Paltrow was talking quite a lot about this and she got quite a lot of stick for it. But to be perfectly honest, again, it was a way of slowing down and giving myself some really radical self-care. And it was a really beautiful process to do. And I would, if you're in any way curious, I would urge you to have a little look into it and find someone that's really reputable that can create beautiful blends of herbs that are specific for you. There are certain times, there are certain things that you would want to avoid in terms of yoni steaming, but that's just something that I wanted to mention because I think a lot of people are kind of scared to talk about anything to do with their vagina or their womb or any of these parts of our bodies that perhaps haven't been celebrated in the way they could have been in the past. So I am saying honestly and openly about yoni steaming being something that was really beautiful and healing for me. The practices that I think most people could quite easily access, there's two that really stick out for me. And there's a lot of things that you can do just to generally connect with that part of the body. But two particular practices for me really helped me. The first one is simply, and I would do this morning and evening when I was in bed. So this would be something I'd do as soon as I woke up and just before I went to sleep. And I found it really calming, really nurturing, and very simple to do. So I didn't need to take out time in the day or anything like that. I could literally just be in my bed and doing this practice. And that is just simply to take some deep breaths into the womb or the womb space. And I would do that by coming into Yoni Mudra. So Yoni Mudra, we bring the thumbs together to touch and the first fingers to touch, and we create kind of a diamond or a triangle shape with our hands. So if you do it now, you'll probably be able to see if you bring that thumb, the thumbs and the first fingers together, you create this sort of beautiful diamond shape with the hands. And then placing that over your womb space, your lower belly, and then just allowing yourself just to lie down. So when you're in bed, or you could do this in a yoga practice or any time you're resting, you could do it sitting, you don't have to be lying down, but it's simply just to connect with that part of the body. So feel the touch of your hands on that part of your body and take some deep breaths into that space as if you're actually filling up that part of the body with your breath. And then just allowing the breath to fall out through the mouth. So there's no big effort here. It's no big powerful breath or anything. It's just simply just a breath that just acknowledges that you have a womb space, that you have a womb, that this part of you exists. And this part of you is such a creative portal that it just wants to be acknowledged. And I think just the simple act of acknowledging this part of our body can be one of the most powerful things of all. And it's also the simplest. Now, obviously, there are emotions and things that might come up around this part of the body. And I would really urge you to speak to someone who specializes in this work if you feel like something's coming up and you can't navigate it on your own. Please, you know, always, there's a lot of stuff that can be held in this part of the body. And we, you know, it's our responsibility as individuals to find and seek the right support if we need it. So please, if anything emotional, anything comes up that you are really not sure about, then please do get in touch with someone. You can always get in touch with me and I can suggest someone else if I can't support you. I have got quite a few people that I can talk to and suggest you speak to if that's something that you need. So that's probably the number one practice that I would do, and I still do that now. So it's a really lovely thing to do while pregnant, or if you are trying to conceive, or if you have any challenges or discomfort around your menstrual cycle, or just if you are finding it hard to be in a relationship with that part of your body. I think this is a really lovely, gentle way of just acknowledging it being there. And also just even like giving yourself the opportunity to take some deep breaths and just imagine that that breath is going down and surrounding your womb, surrounding your uterus, surrounding that whole pelvis area. That in itself can be really beautiful. So the second practice that I love, which again is very simple, is just breathing. This is a heart to womb breath cycle. And this was one of the first practices I was introduced to, from Uma's work. And it's been such a comfort to me during pregnancy, especially when I was in the first trimester and feeling quite vulnerable and quite anxious about, you know, what would happen during the pregnancy and how I was feeling. And it was a lovely way of connecting to that part of the body. Again, if you have any challenges with this part of your body, with the womb, then it's a really nice practice just to start to bring some of the loving energy and the compassionate energy from the heart into the womb space. So this I do by placing one hand on my heart, usually the left hand on my heart and the right hand on my womb space, my womb. And then just starting to take some nice deep breaths and then starting to imagine that I'm breathing from my heart space, where the left top hand is, into my womb space, into the bottom hand. So it becomes almost a cycle. So breathing from one hand to the other, and then from the bottom hand back to the top hand. So it's like this link, and you can imagine it as a circle, or you can imagine a channel going down from your heart to your womb and just linking the two parts of you together. And it's a really beautiful nurturing practice. Again, you can just start to visualize it maybe as a color. You can visualize it maybe as a flow of water, or just a flow of energy, or white healing light. Anything that resonates with you. Just imagining that those two parts of your body are just coming together and they're becoming more united. So we're less disconnected from this part of the body, because, you know, we're quite often just don't even acknowledge that it's there. But just by sending this, creating this energy link between the two parts of us, I just feel like it brings us much more into a state of wholeness. And it's a really lovely, nurturing, gentle practice that can be very, very healing. And you can again do this in the mornings before you get out of bed, in the evenings before you go to sleep. You can do it sitting on the sofa, you can do it sitting up, you can do it in your yoga practice. It's a very simple and accessible practice. So I think that that's all I'm really going to go into today, because this journey is still unfolding for me. It's unfolding for other people, I know. But I would just like to share a bit about how I feel like this, and I'm calling it befriending our womb space or our womb, because I feel like it's a part of us that is so important as women. But many of us see it as an enemy or as something that's inconvenient. And I feel like making friends with this part of our body is such a powerful source of healing. And it's just even simply by acknowledging that it exists is really, really beautiful in itself. And I do understand that sometimes it can be a really challenging part of us to accept. It was really hard for me to accept because I felt broken for so long. I felt like I wasn't able to fully embody being a woman. I felt like I'd failed. I felt like there was something wrong with me. I felt this for so long. And that in itself made me become so disconnected and made me see this part of me as a real absolute kind of, it was a drain. It was stressful. It was unpleasant. It was uncomfortable. It was a hard part of me to accept. But sometimes the parts of us that are hardest to accept, and this doesn't just go for the physical parts, this goes for our emotional parts as well. Sometimes these parts of us are crying out for our attention. They're crying out to be seen, to be noticed, to be acknowledged. And I really do truly see the process that I went to as a huge gift, because without it, I wouldn't have embarked on this journey to reconnect to my womb, to reconnect with this part of the body, and to become not just friends, but to become in relationship with this part of the body and see it as one of my most incredible power sources, one of my most creative power sources, one of my most intuitive parts of the body. My womb and that whole part, my pelvis, my that whole part of my body is a huge guiding star for me now. And it didn't exist before. It was like totally not acknowledged. And so I can only see this process as a total gift. And I really, really would love for other people to start to be able to connect with that part of themselves in a really gentle way. There are so many other practices that can be done. There are beautiful mudras. There are lovely sequences. There are lots of movements, some gentle movements, some really powerful movements. And I would love at some point to be able to share more of those in some shape or form with you guys. But for now, I just think that if we as women, no matter what stage of life we're at, no matter where we're at in our cycles, whether we've even younger girls that haven't started their periods, or if you have been through the menopause, or if you're in perimenopause, if you've had a hysterectomy, if you have had any kind of trauma in that area, I just feel like if we can start to befriend that part of us and let her speak, let her share her wisdom with us, then it's such a gift. It's such a gift for us, and it's such a gift for others, because there's so much power and creativity and magic in this part of our bodies. And I think we're doing ourselves a little disservice by not connecting to it. So yeah, so as I kind of I do believe that without this work, I wouldn't have been able to conceive, and I wouldn't be able to be growing a human right now. I don't believe that I'd be able to feel the movement that I'm feeling as she kicks and moves. I don't believe that I would be so excited about birth and so excited about the transformation that waits for me. I think this work has been the foundations of this next phase of my life, and I'm so, so grateful to have experienced it and to have been introduced to it. And I just feel like even if I can share just one tiny, tiny element of it with other people, with other women, then that's incredible, and I'm so honored to be able to do that. So that's why I'm sharing this today. I hope that it has given you something to think about. It has sparked something, perhaps, maybe curiosity. Maybe it's just made you more aware. Maybe you can just today acknowledge that this part of your body exists, and maybe that's enough. And that in itself is beautiful. And I have so much love and respect for you for listening to this episode. I would love to invite you to get in touch if anything has come up for you when you're listening to this episode. I'd love for you to get in touch with me. I'm always happy to receive emails. You can email me at lauren@laurenbarber.co, or you can get in touch with me through social media on Instagram at laurenbarber.co. I'm really, really grateful that you've shared your time with me today. If you have enjoyed the episode, please do share it with anybody that you think might also resonate or need to hear some of these words. Thank you very much for listening. And that's all I have to say. I hope you have a lovely day. I am so grateful that you chose to listen to this episode of Unraveling today. If you enjoyed this conversation and want to make sure you never ever miss an episode, then please subscribe on your favourite podcast platform. And if you want to get in touch with me, then the best place to do so is on Instagram at laurenbarber.co or through my website, www.laurenbarber.co. And if you haven't already, make sure you sign up to my emails, which also gives you access to a free library of meditations, workbooks, yoga nidra practices, and other tools of transformation. Until next time, keep trusting the beautifully chaotic process of unraveling.